Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. On this Black Friday, the most commercial of all days, we thought we'd talk about trying to protect kids from over-commercialization. One Boston mother turned from a worried parent to an outright activist because of this.
Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky.
Ditsy.
Poo-poo.
La La.
La La.
Ho.
Ah.
Teletubbies.
Yes, the Teletubbies, the weird show featuring those fuzzy creatures of uncertain origin. The program was billed as an educational show for kids, which was what bothered Susan Lynn. She's the founding director of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, which is a Boston-based group that's trying to limit marketing that targets children. She stepped down from that post this past summer. Radio Boston's Anthony Brooks spoke with Lynn earlier this year about her work and what it was about the Teletubbies.
Advertising and marketing had been escalating in the lives of children, so I was already concerned about it. I was concerned about it as a parent. I was raising a daughter, and also I worked with low-income kids with HIV. I could see it in their play, and that was concerning to me. But what happened with Teletubbies is that PBS, my public television station, I support public television, I believe in public media, was marketing it as educational for babies. And they had absolutely no evidence that it was. And that was just really outrageous.
Was it just a lack of evidence that it was educational, or were they actually pushing something else that was worse than that was detrimental to a kid?
The idea that they were trying to convince parents that it was a good thing to put babies in front of screens was incredibly troubling, because we know what babies need in order to grow and develop. They need human interaction. They need to be able to explore the world with all of their senses. And the idea that they were going to encourage parents to put babies in front of televisions was, as far as I was concerned, really potentially incredibly detrimental. And now, since that time, there has been more research showing that, in fact, it is problematic for babies.
Yeah. I want to read from a colleague of ours, Sasha Pfeiffer, who wrote about for the Boston Globe recently. Just for listeners who don't know, she sums up really well in a recent piece in the Boston Globe about what your organization has done over the years. So I'm just going to read very briefly. It prompted entertainment giant Disney to offer refunds on its Baby Einstein videos on the grounds that they could not truly turn toddlers into geniuses. It prevented toy maker Hasbro from releasing a line of toys based on the racy pop group the Pussycat Dolls. It stopped fast food chain McDonald's from advertising on report cards. It defeated legislation in several states that would have allowed ads on school buses. On and on. You haven't been a big organization, but it really has been a sort of David and Goliath battle, but you've been incredibly successful.
Well, so is David.
Well,
by the way.
By the way, this is true. And I take your point, but how have you done it? We know how David did it. How did you do it?
First of all, we're right. There's no moral, ethical, social justification for marketing to children. It's incredibly harmful to them. There's mounting research that it's harmful to them. It undermines our fundamental values of democracy. And so we're starting out with ethics and research on our side. But also, we're not afraid to take on huge corporations. It may sound crazy, and people have often said, you're just nuts to take on marketing to children. It's never going to change. But in fact, we have had successes, and our arguments are based on evidence.
Let's go to Anne, who's calling from Somerville. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I haven't had cable in about 8 years, and I have an 8-year-old. But I've noticed, in the past few years, the amount of advertisement online on websites that are for kids, so-called for kids, it's insane. And in the app. So my question for your guest is, what is the plan to tackle those kind of websites? What is the plan online?
Anne, thanks so much for your call. Susan Lee.
Well, CCFC just recently filed a Federal Trade Commission complaint against Google, which owns YouTube and has launched this app, YouTube Kids, that is, their marketing is safe for children, but is in fact filled with incredible amounts of commercialism and really unfair and deceptive advertising to children. Also, they're marketing it as safe when in fact the kind of programming that kids can access through YouTube Kids is the same kind of programming that parents don't want them to have. I mean, dangerous behaviors, conversations about pornography, they can find all sorts of things. So we filed a Federal Trade Commission complaint. So I'm hopeful that the FTC will act on our complaint.
Let's take another call. Tommy is calling from Government Center in Boston. Hi, Tommy. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. What's on your mind?
I'm a kindergarten teacher. I work with 5 and 6 year olds every day. And my question is, how do we teach our students and our children to think critically about the commercials and the advertisements they see so that there are going to be moments where we don't have that oversight? And how can we make sure that they're equipped with the knowledge and the mindsets that they need to be able to think critically about this type of thing?
Great question, Tommy. Susan?
That is a good question. You know, first of all, it's important to remember that young children aren't really developmentally equipped to be able to think critically about advertising. I think that one way that we can encourage critical thinking in children is to immerse them in the rest of the world, to give them the time and the space and the silence and the encouragement to explore with all of their senses, to be able to find things out for themselves.
Do you find hope in the way TV has evolved? And I'm thinking about what I observe in my own household. So, for example, I have a 4-year-old son. I don't think he's ever seen a commercial because we watch Apple TV, we watch Netflix, we sit him down to a handful of shows that we pick, and he's happy watching those. He never sees commercials anymore.
I think that the fact that parents do have more choice and can, block out actual commercials is encouraging. But what the marketers are doing now is embedding commercials in the programs themselves. So the business model for most children's programming is brand licensing. So, in fact, every program, even, beloved programs, on PBS that have great content, are also actually ads for zillions of other products.
Susan, I want to bring in another voice in this conversation. Dr. Eugene Baresin is Executive Director of Mass General Hospital's Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds and a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And Dr. Baresin, welcome back to you. It's good to have you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
I want to just disclose at the top that I understand you've consulted with HBO to produce some children's TV shows, so I just want to put that out in front. But do you share the concern with children, with the sort of evils of commercials and children being exposed to that?
Yes, I do. I do share the fears, and especially share them now that the number of iPads and tablets has increased tenfold or more over the last few years. That most kids, 80%+ of teenagers have smartphones and have access. And actually, the things that they're watching on television, kids are spending less time actually watching, real screen TV, and they're watching television shows and programs online. And what concerns me also is that most parents, in the studies that I've read, don't know what their kids are watching in their rooms with their smartphones, tablets, computers, and other things. And as these things, as the commercials are embedded in these apps, it becomes pervasive. So,
and what are the effects that you're most worried about?
Frankly, I mean, I'm more worried about the younger children than I am about the older kids. I'm worried about them becoming excessively, consumed with materialism and commercialism, and wanting more and more things. Number one, I'm worried about the time that they're spending using digital media and not in facing, real time and space with other people. And I'm worried. I want to bring in another issue, and that is the one that you've raised, Anthony, and that is that parents need to be more concerned and more media literate about what their kids are watching, because most of the studies show that very few parents actually know what their kids are watching, whether it's video games or apps or television shows. And we really do need to be more aware of what they're exposed to.
Realistically, it's very hard to prevent your child, to shield your child from ever seeing commercials. So when they do see them, what do you say? How do you talk to them about what they're seeing? And how do you teach a kid to somehow filter out what's true, useful, helpful, or not?
That's a great question. There are a number of ways of doing it. First of all, it depends on the age of the child and their developmental level, their ability to understand, as Susan was pointing out. But what's most important is that we do need to spend more time with children actually when we are using screen time, whether it's an iPad or whether it's a phone or whether it's the actual television, of sitting with them and then pausing the TV and saying, what did you just see? How do you understand this? We need to understand as parents how our own kids are processing what they're actually viewing.
I want to try to get just one more call in before we have to say goodbye. Laura is calling from Cape Cod. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi. I was kind of wondering about broadening the conversation a little bit from, you know, commercial-free to TV-free. I did raise my children without television, and they don't seem to have suffered for it.
Laura, it's a great question. Susan Lynn, what do you think? How realistic is that to raise kids in a TV-free world? I guess it's realistic.
Well,
Laura did it.
I actually know, you know, lots of parents who are raising their young children screen-free. It gets harder as kids get older. But I think, you know, in the first years of life, really, that less is better. I mean, there's no evidence that it's really beneficial to them, some evidence that it might be harmful.
Well, Susan Lynn, thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for coming in and talking about this important issue today. We're very grateful, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Eugene Baresson, he's the executive director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at Mass General and a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Baresson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Radio Boston's Anthony Brooks speaking with Dr. Baresson and Susan Lynn, who founded the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. And a note on that complaint filed with the Federal Trade Commission charging that the YouTube Kids app is deceptively commercialized. Google, which owns YouTube, recently announced changes to the Kids app. The Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood says those changes, quote, in no way addressed concerns about excessive and deceptive commercial content on YouTube Kids. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Imogene Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek. We had help this week from Adam Asher, Virginia Marshall, and Caitlin O'Keefe. Tim Skog is our technical director, and we had engineering help from James Francis Trout. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Deborah Becker. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.